there's a God that says he's going to change it. And he's looking for people to be a voice to bring that change. And Denny and I just happen to be two of them. So if you were to take all the wars in our nation and add up all the men and women that have lost their lives to those wars, abortion over the last 45 years, just in our nation, outweighs it by 90 to 1. 90 babies to one soldier's life over the last 45 years. Well, actually, the whole, you know, take all of the wars, 90 to 1. So I'm going to give you a very, very brief summary on the origins of abortion and how we've gotten here, and briefly explain what the moral outcry is. So abortion was legalized through deceit and lies. Its foundation is eugenics and racism, which is alive and well. Eugenics was created in the late 19th century as a science to improve human population by controlling the breeding. It created an atmosphere for an elitist, racist movement to remove all those believed inferior. It sought to eliminate the undesirable through sterilization, euthanasia, segregation, or by any other means of stopping the degenerate from reproducing, thus wiping out the old, the weak, the poor, the handicapped, and anyone who had color to their skin. Margaret Sanger, maybe a name you know, she came on the scene. She promoted birth control. Her birth control federation would eventually become what we know as Planned Parenthood in 1922. And then the early 1950s, her Planned Parenthood began funding research, which led to the creation of the pill in 1956. After just testing it on humans in Puerto Rico, it entered the United States in 1960. When I speak of the pill, I'm talking about the mini pill, the IUD, the Norplant, the morning after pill, Depo-Provera, RU486, anything that is a hormonal contraceptive. The public to this day believes that it only carries one function, and that is that the woman will not ovulate. It actually carries three functions. If the woman ovulates, then the second function steps in and it causes the mucus to be slippery so that the sperm cannot reach the egg that has just been ovulated. If that works or doesn't work, the sperm then reaches the egg. So a third function kicks in, which causes the lining of the uterus to become slippery so that the child cannot attach to the uterine wall. So this made getting the pill legalized difficult because they knew that all hormonal contraceptives cause spontaneous abortions without the mother even knowing. So they decided to change the definition of what we know as conception. Before 1965, any medical book or dictionary under conception, it would clearly say at the moment the sperm meets the egg. But they changed it to say conception is the implantation of the fertilized egg. So that means if that passes through all of those three functions and still attaches to the uterine lining, okay, that's conception. I hope everybody's following me. So with changing that, they were able to legalize the pill, and then they were one step closer to legalizing abortion just a few years later, January 22, 1973. The Supreme Court made the decision. The people did not make the decision. The people were not asked, did they want abortion legalized? The Supreme Court did this on their own. So this is just, that is just a skimming surface. I give a very in-depth teaching, but for lack of time, just to give you a little bit of a background on it. So I want to talk for just briefly the RU486 pill. That is the pill that is given in a short time after the woman realizes that she's pregnant. It's prescribed by a medical doctor. 35 to 40% of all abortions in the United States are now done this way. The plan is to actually get rid of the clinics, which many are trying to get rid of the clinics, but the problem is we still have this pill. And so they say, well, if we legalize that you can't abort after a certain number of weeks, that we're doing well. But the problem is we still have this pill that they keep prescribing. So the only way to do this is to overturn Roe v. Wade and make it illegal to get an abortion any way, shape, or form in the U.S. Now I want to mention, we have a reformation plan. We're not just saying we want abortion to end, you're killing babies, stop. We're saying we have an answer to it. There's no reason to have abortions in this day. First of all, it is scientifically proven that it hurts women. We have many women that are affected by their abortions physically, mentally, emotionally. Many struggle to even maintain a societal presence because of it. So we don't want to hurt women anymore. Second of all, the safe haven laws have been established in 1991. Every state carries a safe haven law, which means that a newborn could be relinquished to a safe place, YMCA, hospitals, fire stations, without questions asked, which then can be legally and freely adopted without cost. Okay? So no woman has to carry the burden if she is unable or doesn't want to raise that child. The third thing is that there's 1 million families at any given time that are waiting for a healthy newborn. There's no reason to put this on our women or our children any longer. So I'm going to prepare to share with you just the brief prophetic story of how Denny and I came into this. And I will weep, I'm sorry. So about a year and a half ago, the Lord asked me if I would loan him my womb. Now, most of you know our story that we adopted and we've been carrying the spirit of adoption. We've walked many through adoption. We have fruit on your second row right here that I'm just tickled over. And so when I came home and shared with Denny that the Lord asked if I would loan him my womb, his question was, well, I'm not sure why we would do that if because we've been caring for so long that we stand between the child that's in danger in the womb to abortion, and then the other side is making sure that when they're born, they go into a safe family with a spirit of adoption instead of the system. So a few days later, I had a dream that answered that question. In the dream, I was standing at my kitchen sink. I had something in my hand. My water was running. I flipped on my disposal, ran my hand under the water, and instantly knew that I had just crushed an embryo in my sink disposal. Now, an embryo is the earliest stages of life. It is a fertilized egg. It is life. And there's 600,000 due to infertility that are frozen in our U.S. If you need understanding on that, you can talk to me afterwards. There's too much to try to unpack with all of that. Now, the other interesting part was I was fully menopausal when the Lord asked me to do this. I'm 51. So when I woke up from this dream, I was weeping and I heard the Lord say, I'm sorry, I don't know how else to show you how I feel about this. He said, whether life is so small that the human eye cannot see it, or a fully gestational baby being torn from its mother's womb, he said, I stood before them both and I declared plans and purpose and destiny prior to placing them in the womb. And he said, I grieve equally for both. It gave us a complete paradigm shift. We had to repent, realizing that we were placing our human value on life, as pro-life as we were. We said, the baby that is in the womb, that's moving and breathing, is more valuable than that tiny little bubble full of cells frozen somewhere or just conceived. But the Lord doesn't look at life that way. He looks at life from the moment to the end. Every minute of it is valuable to him. He sees the finished product the minute he allows the sperm to reach the egg. So we said yes, and we said yes to 4 embryos, 6 days old. Three boys and 1 girl. That was 1 year ago, a couple days ago. So that's February 22nd. We had gone to a conference, and somebody approached us and said, when I heard that Roe v. Wade had never been challenged, I saw your face, or never been successfully challenged, I saw you in your husband's face. She said, but I didn't know if you were going to be pregnant. There's a prophetic word about a pregnant woman finding favor with the Supreme Court. That's why she said that. She didn't know that the Lord asked me to loan him our womb and that we had just become parents to 4 tiny little bubbles. And so it got our attention. And we thought, well, this might be God. So I contacted an attorney that I had heard about and asked him the criteria to challenge Roe v. Wade. And we began discussing different things. Denny and I had been in deep prayer even prior with asking for strategy for the ending of abortion, asking the Lord, teach us how to pray, bringing education to the people. But on March 9th, a few weeks later, I woke up and in prayer, I kept seeing William Wilberforce rolling out his petition before Parliament to overturn the slave trade, which he successfully did. Contacted the attorney, shared with him what I saw. And a few weeks later, he and I wrote the petition to the Supreme Court. We are 7 months pregnant and 7 months out of the gate with the petition. We have just under 82,000 signatures. 75,000 signatures have been already received by the Supreme Court from us. The signatures are, you go to themoraloutcry.com and you sign your name. We need everybody to do this. Why is it called the Moral Outcry? Our late Justice Scalia was noted in a private conversation that he said, I don't believe in abortion, but where is the moral outcry? We need a moral outcry coming from the nation for our nation's politicians and government to hear it, but for God to hear it. He's asked us to do this. Denny and I, we're just carrying this for him. He's taking the temperature of the nation to see where are we at with this. You'd be really surprised where we're at with this. I thought gathering signatures would be a lot easier than asking families to adopt. You sign it with your finger, it takes 5 seconds. You don't have to take nothing home. But it still is extremely difficult because education is not there. People don't understand fully. So we agree that this is unprecedented to petition the Supreme Court. It's never been done before. You don't petition the Supreme Court. You bring cases to the Supreme Court. But we're living in an unprecedented time. The people did not vote on Roe v. Wade, but your signature is your vote to say, we don't want this anymore. And after Denny shares, you'll understand why that much more. It's not just about the killing of innocent lives. It is destroying humanity because of the curse that it's brought on our land. One more thing. The Supreme Court has changed their decisions before. Plessy versus Ferguson, which made the separate but equal act doctrine of the law of the land, was in effect for 58 years, which it withheld any type of honor, respect, or help to the African American for 58 years. And after 58 years, they came in with evidence, with a reformation plan to say, this man is a man just like this man, and he deserves every right that this man has. And because of the evidence, they changed their 58-year-old law. We are 45 years into this law. We could go on and on this morning of the evidence that proves that life happens at conception. Within 18 days, a heartbeat is detected. It doesn't even look like anything but a grain of rice with a heartbeat. It hurts women. It's unnecessary. It hurts the child. It hurts the child's families. It hurts the child's siblings. I could go on with evidence that we will take before the Supreme Court when we have our moment with all of our signatures. And we will see this overturned.
Yes, amen, amen. Awesome. Amen. Got that step? Awesome. So, can you pop up that website that I asked you? Is this on? Yes? Okay. Turned it down for me. Awesome. So, during that 50-day fast, that last 10 days, the Lord drew me to this abortioncounters.com, and I was standing in my kitchen, and as I'm just looking at this, I'm just like going, you know, I'm looking at these numbers. I mean, we're talking black babies. I mean, millions and millions in the United States, worldwide. I mean, look at this. And, you know, as I'm just there, I mean, my knees buckled when I saw this. And I mean, I was like going, oh my gosh. And I honestly, in my heart, I said, what are you waiting for? This deserves instant judgment by the millions, the least of these, the ones that have no voice. And we're disposing them like they're nothing, just like they're nothing. And then as I was just gazing through each one of them, just in the fear of the Lord on me, then I get over to this other one over here where it says, you know, since you logged on the page, I mean, since Eric logged on the page, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, every second, globally, there is a baby aborted And I mean, I wept over this stuff going, God, what? I mean, we cry out for mercy. I mean, don't we? Every God, have mercy on us. But mercy demands a response from the people. We cry out mercy. He gives the mercy, but we don't change. Right? I mean, this is how it is. And Genesis chapter 4, you know, the first murder in the Bible. And you word study people, you want to do a little word search there, murder versus kill. God says, do not murder. So where your translations are in there, it said, do not kill. That's different than murder. Because in Exodus chapter 20, the sixth commandment says, do not murder. Murder comes with an intention. It's got a motive behind it. But in Genesis chapter 4, when Cain kills Abel, in the Hebrew Bible, when it says Cain killed Abel, that Abel's bloods, it's plural, cries out. His bloods cries out. Because when there's one abortion, it's not only are you killing that baby, but you're wiping out the whole lineage. The whole lineage is wiped away. I mean, you kill baby, but I mean, the marriage never happens. The children never have, the grandchildren, the great-great-grandchildren, it's wiped away. So, I mean, we look at this, I mean, 60 million since 1973, 60 million in just the United States. But that's why I love adoption. I mean, when we did that 7.5 years ago, partnering with the Lord, if one abortion wipes out the whole lineage, one adoption saves the whole lineage. It's like, come on, Lord. If he rewards us in heaven by handing somebody a drink of water, I mean, it's in the scriptures, right? You give anybody a cup of water, you're rewarded for. Imagine what it looks like of the reward you get for saving a whole lineage of children and babies and people. It's just like, oh my gosh. So, you say, okay, abortion, and this is why the Lord, I feel like he's raised Mindy and I up, because when we say abortion, it's just a word to most people. It was a word for me before that 50-day fast. It was just a word. You know, I didn't agree with it. Yeah, you know, because my thinking was, until I really pressed into it, okay, God, you know them before the very foundation of the world, and so they're in the womb, and then they get ripped out of the womb, and then they go right back to you. That was my thinking. I mean, as sick as that is, you know? And as I allowed the Lord just to peel the onion on my heart, you know, and just, okay, Lord, help me here. Lord, help me. Help me understand. And he says, Denny, look into this. Because we just look at that abortion thing, and it's just like, yeah, I'm really not a pro-lifer. I am a pro-lifer, but I hate being tagged that. I'm a child of the Most High God. And they're killing babies, and this is wrong. So we need to have a moral outcry to stand up and just say, not on my watch, not one more baby. 3,500 babies a day in America. 3,500 tomorrow. 3,500 the next day, 24,500 a week. I mean, it's staggering. And we say, okay, Lord, if we overturn Roe v. Wade and its companions, what does that look like in America, God? 3,500 babies a day. I say, okay, Lord, 3,500 babies are going to need homes to go into. And we just say, you know what? I got room at my table for one more. We're not going to build more orphanages. I can't find that in here. Build orphanages and house them there, and we'll just go there once a month, twice a month. Just, hey, Johnny, how you doing? It's going to be okay. You know, Jesus loves you, and go back and sit on our recliner. It's just like, you know, adoption is the most beautiful love story I have ever encountered with the Lord. We get to do this with the Lord. We get to do this. Like, wait a minute here. You're asking me to. I get to do this? What an honor. What an honor it is, God. What an honor. I'll partner with you to bring justice in the earth and be an example to the earth. I mean, adoption, I mean, he freely adopts us into his kingdom, right? Freely. Just, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. That's adoption. He's a father to the fatherless. That means I'm a father to the fatherless, right? That we just take them in. Oh, you got color in you? Good. I need color. Come here. Here, here's your seat. These are your brothers and sisters. It's that easy. That's how beautiful adoption is. And I want to go into, I know we don't have much time, guys. We're trying to unpack years of study on this, and Sunday mornings are usually tight. But I just want you to feel just the Lord's heart. I mean, he commands us, do not do this. Do not murder. And that's what abortion is. It's murder. But we've been so brainwashed with what the government has told us. We've been so brainwashed with what doctors have told us. We've been so brainwashed by what they say out there. They only give you the information what they want you to hear, that fake news stuff. You know, and so, and we buy it, you know, hook, line, and sinker. And I can't, and I remember Mindy and I were speaking to some young adults. And as we were speaking, you know, he's over there on his computer, you know, and he goes to the Planned Parenthood page. And he goes, well, it looks like they're doing, don't go to that page if you want to really get to the guts of this thing. I mean, because when Mindy and I got started in this, we just started down this rabbit hole. And we got down this rabbit hole and go, wow, this rabbit hole goes deep. I mean, all the way back, and I love to use the story of Gideon. I'm not even opening it. Go there and read this later. So God's trying to raise up a moral outcry in the land. That's us. We disagree with what you did in 73. We don't want you murdering our babies anymore. And so there's a story in Judges chapter 6, Gideon's story. Go read it later. So Gideon, you know, Israel, and you can read it countless times in the Bible. Gideon, the children of Israel, you know, they rebelled over and over and over and over. And you say, would they ever get this? You know, they would. But when they cried out, God would hear their cry. And this is the cry we're asking. God, will you hear our cry this time? That you would end abortion once and for all. But it's going to take our, you know, it's all hands on deck. It's not, this isn't a Denny and Mindy thing. This isn't an Ethel and Debbie thing. Or just everybody. So your signature is your voice. Say, I disagree with this. Put me on the list. And so back to Gideon. So they cry out. And God says, okay, I hear your cry. So the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. And he says, oh, Gideon, mighty man, the Lord is with you. And basically, I'm just paraphrasing here. Gideon says, you know, because he's hiding out in the wine press because their land is being raided, pillaged. They're taking all their crops, their animals. I mean, just the land is in turmoil. And so the angel says, the Lord is with you. So Gideon says, you know, yeah, really? The Lord's with us? Then what's going on in my land? You know, and then Gideon does his little test and stuff like that, and he said, the Lord's with you. And what was really highlighted to me in this story is that the first thing that God asked Gideon to do in Judges chapter 6, he said, Gideon, this is what I want you to do. He didn't say, I'm going to come in and defeat your enemies, which he did. I'm going to come in and heal your land, which he did. But he said, but the first thing I want you to do is go in there and tear down the Baal altar. Now, a modern day Baal altar, because back in the day, Baal altars, the god of Molech, there's a demonic spirit behind this thing. They used to sacrifice their babies on the altar of Baal. They would take their newborn baby and set them right on the fire and sacrifice it for prosperity, for fertility, and all of the, you name it. And they would murder innocent babies. And so now we look at, what does that look like today in America? Those are our abortion clinics. So God says, tear down the Baal altars first. And then God came in, and we know the whole story of Gideon. I mean, he turned the enemies against them, each other. You know, it's like, here, we'll just do that first, you know, and wipe them out that way. But we have Baal altars. I want you to understand, in 1973, the Supreme Court made a covenant with death. A covenant with death, and that covenant stands. And God just says back in 73, where is my people? Where are my people? Where is the moral outcry? Where are my people? Who's going to stand up for righteousness and justice and say, no, this is not okay. You're not killing babies. So the Supreme Court made a covenant with death. The covenant stands. So God says, are you sure this is what you want? You're going to make a covenant with death, and no, not too many people are making an upheaval about it. And so God just says, okay. And through scriptures we learn, God gives us what we're asking for. If you want death, then so be it. I'll let you go in and kill your own. And I will let death come into your land. And pretty soon, I'm gonna read from Psalm 106. And we're going to read, and maybe we can engage a little bit in the scriptures and say, oh, hey, wait a minute here. I know what you're saying here. I know what this feels like. So when God comes in, and we invite death in. So Psalm 106, verse 35. But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus, they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. When innocent blood is shed on a land, whether you believe this or not, do your own study on it, it contaminates the land. It pollutes everything you can think of. It contaminates our schools, our courtrooms, our government, the church. It contaminates education, marriages, family. You invite death in, oppression comes in. Depression, suicide, sickness, disease. It's contaminated our food and our water, right? Everything you can imagine from this covenant with death. And so this petition to the Supreme Court, we want the covenant broken. And I believe when we get that from the Supreme Court and they wash their hands of this, I feel us believers are going to feel God's hand come back on this nation, and we're going to see the greatest revival we've ever seen. But we look at these babies, and this is where you need to take this before the Lord. God stirred it here when we were here 18 months or so ago. I mean, this, Denise and Jim, I mean, this, Isaac, this is amazing. I mean, God is doing this in pockets all over the earth. All over the earth. Because when there's 3,500 babies a day, I look in that and say, John 4, God, John 4, where God says, look into the harvest, for the fields are ripe. 3,500 babies. I mean, 3,500 babies isn't coming to Grace Point, you know? But spread that out, and the church is the only organization on the planet that can swallow this up with ease. You know what's so beautiful about adoption? We're winning souls. That's over 1 million souls a year. Just when, in one act of kindness, one act of justice, we save the baby. We get to disciple this baby. We get to train this baby in the ways of the Lord. I mean, it's the gospel 101, right? The gospel 101. And I know, are we out of time? Yes, probably 20 minutes ago. So guys, I mean, again, take the heart of this. Because Mindy and I have hours and hours and hours and hours of study in this. And you say, Lord, what does this mean to you? Because it's on your watch. They're murdering babies every single day. And we must stand up and do something. I remember when we handed in the first batch of petitions. We have cases and cases and cases. 74,000 signatures are at the Supreme Court right now. They have to look at it. And, you know, Mindy's name is right on the front page with our attorney, Alan Parker. And it just got surreal for me just for a moment. We were in D.C. standing across from the Supreme Court and just going, I don't know if I want this fight. You know, and if I was to pick assignments in the earth, this would not be the assignment. But God is raising up a moral outcry that we would stand for justice, that we, the people, say we disagree, that there would be a justice movement like Martin Luther King. I mean, he said this. He said, this would be fatal for the nation, fatal for the nation. But we are in a window of opportunity. If you're following media on the good side and how our Trump administration is speaking about this, the Speaker of the House is speaking about this, the Vice President is speaking about this. I mean, they spoke at the March for Life. We have a window of opportunity that this thing is getting overturned. So
I unashamedly give this pitch. We desperately need signatures.
Can you put up our slide and take? Guys, so look at that number since he logged on the page. Almost 1,300 babies. Let the Lord pray into this. Let this move your heart. We have to be, I mean, like Mindy said earlier, we care about this, but we're not weeping over this. I mean, we're not like, God, end this thing. It contaminates the land. No more shedding of innocent. We can do something about this, the church. I'll be quiet now.
TheMoralOutcry.com. Type it in your search engine on your laptops, your desktop, your
takes 15 seconds.
iPhone, and sign with your finger and push submit. TheMoralOutcry.com. We have cards in the back with it on there.
Yeah, we'll be at the table over here. We can answer questions, and we also...
I'm about to do that.
Okay. I'm gonna turn this off. Thank you, Grace Point.
Yes, thank you so much. We are on Facebook. Share it. Get on our website. Share it. Just share it, share it, share it. Tell people you know. But we desperately need help financially. I'm going to cry again. The day after the petition, the day after I wrote the petition, we got an email from our number one supporter that was paying our house payment for 5 years, that he was no longer going to be doing that. We have been hit. If anybody understands warfare, our finances have been hit. It's another way to be the voice, to help us get it to the nation. We have 15 cities right now that are on our itinerary that the Lord gave us for us to go to. We'll be in Joplin at the end of March here, so double whammo in Missouri, and I appreciate that so much. But it doesn't end there, because we have to also continue to raise up the voice to the church, that the church responds to this with adoption when this is over. So we're in a short window. We desperately need help. We need monthly supporters. We're missionaries. This is all we do. So I just wanted to give you that. Thank you, Ethel.